Thank God that that Shams news came through because we were literally about to rank NBA marriages. Welcome to Spinsters, a podcast where we love a man in a skirt, especially if it's Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. Where we love Russell Westbrook in anything, especially if the buttons are buttoned down. At least three or four, which is his norm. I'm Haley.
And I'm Jordan.
Before we get started today, I want to plug Blue Wire's new podcast, Brownstown. Our boss, Peter Moses, worked very hard on this. It's very good. I actually plugged it in real life as well when we went to the Sparks game on Sunday.
Just walking, Storm. Walking billboard.
Well, I saw this guy with a brown shirt and I was like, hey, dude, well, we're waiting in line. That's a whole other thing. Maybe it's just Staples. Maybe it's all arenas with W games, but there were three concession places open. I was so hungry. So it took a long time. We were in line for a long time. It reminded me of when they do like the merch drops and releases. And they're like, well, no one's going to buy it. So we'll only make 100 of these t-shirts. And then they're sold out in like 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And they're not prepared. Supply and demand.
Basics of e-com right there.
I'll text you about it. If you manage Staples, I'll give you my number. We'll talk about supply and demand. Anyway, I was waiting for my beer, and this guy had a brown shirt on. And I thought that was really interesting because, well, Jordan, you invited me and a plus one to the Sparks game. So obviously I took Sean Yu. And what we noticed when we were waiting for our beers was that it was the best dressed sporting event we'd probably ever seen.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like that's great. How Sparks games are. Yeah, that's a good
call. So, I mean, no offense to the guy with the brown shirt. It's not like that he was poorly dressed. He was properly dressed for a sports game. But just in contrast to everyone else, it definitely stood out. Because it wasn't vintage. And I mean, why am I shitting this guy? Sorry. It was nice. It was like fine shirt.
It was also Sunday. It was
a Sunday. It was comfortable.
Football Sunday. I feel like a lot of people had on football jerseys.
Right.
We actually just came. Me and my boyfriend came from Yard House where people were dressed in full gear almost, like at the bar watching football. We were like, oh yeah, it's football season.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how basketball, super basketball fans will do that horrible thing where they'll buy the shorts, the team shorts and the team shirt. It's so hilarious that that never happens in football. Or I guess what I'm saying is I wish it happened with football and they wear the tights and the big jersey.
And the pants.
And the pads. Yeah. That would be
just
nice.
Just ready to be subbed in at all times.
I was thinking the other day about I could just make a PSA for what I think men should wear more of. And I tweeted it because I think I was in line. Maybe I wasn't. I don't know. A lot of things happened in this line.
In that line.
Which is why it stuck with me.
Long. I knew there had to be a story.
Some of the halftime show.
Which was really great.
Yeah. I'm sad about that. Who was it?
It's okay.
What was the group called?
So it was HBCU night at the Sparks game. So they just paid homage to like classic HBCUs and the garb was great. They had the women had berets, and it was like it was a whole thing. It was actually pretty good. I'm sorry to.
We were like running between. We would like get a peek, and then when it seemed like they were doing a transition, we would like run to the next one and get a peek, and then run. But it's fine. Anyway, Brownstown. I told the guy, I was like, "Have you heard Brownstown?" He's like two people ahead of me, and he turns on. He's like, "What?" Yeah, I was just. just an exceptionally dressed stranger coming up to
Blue Wire Podcast.
I literally said, it's a Blue Wire Podcast. You should listen to it. It's about Browns and how you guys have sucked, but there's hope and blah, blah, blah. And,
but yeah. There's hope.
Yeah. Sean was like,
oh, great.
Stop.
Something else to tell me how much they suck. But there's hope and there's stories and it's great. And it's football.
It's really good. The narrator is great. Yeah. I'm really enjoying that podcast. So anyway, there's the plug. I had so much fun at that Sparks game. I told you that it was my first ever WNBA game.
And I could not believe it. And it was so fitting that I took you to your very first WNBA game. And well, shout out to the Sparks PR team for inviting us. And that was so fun. Great seats, like seventh row in Staples. And it was both you and Sean's first W game. So yeah. What are your thoughts? What do you think?
Well, I guess, first of all, I'll just say, like, if you want to send me and Jordan to anything,
please do.
Go ahead. Give us the tickets. We'll do it. We'll review it. We'll go on Instagram Live.
Yep. All of it.
Yeah. If it's free, we'll do it. So, yeah, again, if it's free. That's just this new slogan for the podcast.
If it's free, we'll do it. The Spencer's way.
So I wasn't like fully sure of the stakes. I knew that we talked about it a bit and the Sparks are not in a great position to make the playoffs. So going into it, I also knew that the Storm were favored because I was going to bet on the game. And then I was like, well, I don't want to bet against the Sparks, but I also didn't want to. There's love involved for me with Sue Bird, so I didn't. I have a hard time. I don't bet against like Louisville or people I'm madly in love with. So, so I didn't place a wager on the game. But it was their last home game.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing the Storm. They were outmatched. You did a good job of setting the stakes, so I'll rehash that now. There was a very slim chance that they were going to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Before that game, they ran through them,
bulldozed through them, which I think was a shock for everyone. But a couple things to keep in mind: Jordan Canada didn't play for the Storm. Stewie is out for the rest of the regular season, and the Sparks. I hate to use this, but they lit a spark, like they did, because they had to, and now their playoff chances, there's still a chance. If they lost that game, it would have been, you know, over. But now there's still some hope. And like,
there's two teams they need to climb on ahead of, right? Okay, yeah.
Yes, they still got some climbing to do, and they need them to lose. But winning that game kept their chances alive, and that they did it so handedly. Like, they kind of blew them out, which nobody saw coming. So that was great.
A very convincing first game to go to. It's kind of, it's the thing you can't help where it's the first, you know, usually you're like a child, mm-hmm. but the first sporting event of whatever sport you go to, you're just like, oh, I guess I'm a fan now. So yeah, that was great. I'm probably a Sparks fan. Also,
come on over.
It was Welcome. Such a good environment, and not just for. I think, let me just say this. I just like being around women.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? I just would rather be around majority women all the time if I could. That's like.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Not to say it was all women, actually. There were a ton of guys there as well. Shout out to this woman I ran into, also in line for the beer. We were talking about a lot of stuff. We covered a lot of bases. But at the end of it, she was telling me that her son wants to buy season tickets. And the way she was telling the story, I thought he was like a child. And I said, oh, how old is he? And she said, 32.
He thought it was a kid, like, saving his pennies from a lemonade stand.
Yeah, which then I was like, oh, that's interesting. What's he do for work? Have you heard the Mitch Hedberg bit where he talks about when he eats something unhealthy and then he'll eat like a carrot because he just wants them to go down together in his stomach and like shake hands and kind of cancel each other out?
No, I haven't heard that, but that's wonderful logic.
That's the same with me of like a red flag. And if you support women's sports without bragging about the fact you support women's sports, I'm like, okay, I'll take. Give me one red flag and you get that green one and they cancel each other out.
That's perfect. That's a Yeah, if you ever write a book, that's what it should all be based on.
The guys in the crowd were also the type of male sports fan for women's sports that I like. Because there's a couple different kinds of them. There's the ones who are like anti, who are not fans.
And then it's like, why are you there?
Even within them, there are two people. There's the ones who are not fans for no good reason. We'll call them like the barbarians. Then there's the ones who pretend there's logic behind it. And they're like, oh, it's just not as good or whatever. Biology, blah, blah, blah.
Those are the worst ones to me. Because you're making stuff.
Yeah, those are even – yeah, because they're fiending intelligence. So those are like the – those are the guys who have giant copies of Infinite Jest on their bookshelves and reference it often and pull it out at parties. So barbarians, jesters. And then there's the guys who do it for applause. I'm so good. And then there's the guys who do it out of guilt, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. There are other forms. And then – and I believe this is the majority. It definitely was yesterday of the people I ran into and talked to are the ones who just – it's not a thing for them. They just recognize how good the action is, and this is a great deal because there's the parking is cheaper outside of Staples, and the characters are just as good, and the mood is, and we'll call that the group that went to therapy.
Or, like, that's the group to me that are basketball fans.
Yeah, like, those you are basketball
like
fans.
Basketball, and it doesn't matter who is playing, and that's why, I mean – shout out to Kyrie Irving was there. Chris Paul was there. Victor Oladipo. I think those are guys, those are NBA guys that are basketball fans. And they maybe were in town and they're like, I want to watch basketball. So they're going to go to a Sparks game. And that's just really cool. And you can tell the Sparks vibe. It's just a championship atmosphere. It's Staples. The DJ is fire. Like, the atmosphere is so fun, and then when you have the Sparks put on a show like they did last night, like, that was – it was a blast. It was a recipe for a wonderful night, and it was.
Yeah, it was great, and that the performances were great. They have – so I also – you semi-confirmed this. The people who I polled in my trek to getting the beer confirmed this, but they have dancers, but they're not – the stereotypical like sports dance teams. It's like it was people in hoodies and giant sweats. Like, it looked so comfortable.
Yeah.
And they were just vibing. Like, the DJ was great. And they were just basically like nodding their head to whatever he was playing. It was so great. I was like, okay, they're just mood setters. It's nice. Yeah.
Well, and Fred and I were thinking they had the stage over there, like, COVID-wise, so they're not on the court. Because, you know, normally, like, timeouts, they run on the court. So they just had their own little stage next to the DJ, and then you just pop over there and look, and they're just grooving.
Yeah, it was great.
Nonstop, all game.
I think that's how it is, because that's when, with the other sports events I went to, there's, like, a thing off to the side, and that's where the entertainment performs.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so those were great. Not to take away from any type of dancer. If your title's dancer, I don't care what you do, you're talented. We were at the game and we were talking about our own dancing past. Should I expose you or sorry, have you paid? Or have you? Will you Venmo me right now?
Holding stories hostage live on air. Okay. No, I'm not afraid to admit it. I danced in sixth grade and I danced at the state fair, which is held in Sacramento, my hometown, and it was to Holler Back Girl by Gwen Stefani. And it was a wonderful time. And I was in the front, okay? Also, random fun fact, a set of twin sisters danced with me for that performance, and now they're like huge TikTok stars for dancing. And I was like, whoa.
Who is it?
I haven't seen you since we were sixth grade. I actually don't know their names. I don't know why I brought them up. But they came across my timeline organically. And I was like, wow, this is wild. Maybe if I would have stuck with them, I would be a famous TikTok
dancer.
You'd be
on TikTok, yeah. Yeah, Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah, no. My mom was a cheerleader and a dancer. So that was me, like, doing her a solid. And then I was like, you know, this is too much time away from basketball. I got to get back to it. And that was the end of my dancing career.
I told you I was a cheerleader in high school, right?
Yeah, I love that.
I was captain of the cheerleading team, but I couldn't do a cartwheel. Personality will get you really far in this life.
It's okay. You had other qualities, like leadership. That's why you were a captain.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed seeing Kyrie last night at the game. The spelling bee champ was there also, Zalia Avangard.
Yes.
And also, yes. I read after the fact, because I was Googling, like, Spark stuff afterwards, and she apparently gave them a pep talk. Yeah, before the game.
I love that. Really cute. I also thought she was going to perform. I thought she was going to do some dribbling.
Like spell. Oh.
No, I did not think she was going to spell random words, even though they did have a segment, like, right when we sat down. I don't know if you noticed, but they did have, like, random people spelling. Like, you know how they throw T-shirts or you have to make a half-court shot? Like, they had them spelling.
Yeah, and, I saw that.
And Fred was like, that's random at a basketball game. I was like, I know, right? And then I pointed out Miss Avangard. So it was on brand for – it was all for her.
Yeah, that makes sense. Sean and I were walking. That was – the way up to get the beer, and we saw that, and we were glad we're leaving because spelling just makes me nervous. Like, I get sweaty because it's not me fair too. To base your intelligence off of whether or not you can spell the word, yet it does feel like it's a pretty people use it as a reflection of intelligence, and I'm just not a great speller.
Terrible so. At spelling.
And that my and fight or flight writers. With spelling bees is like instantly flight.
I'm running the other way.
Yeah. But yeah, and then we saw Oladipo randomly.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked you if you'd seen his Twitter and you told me you hadn't.
No, I haven't.
Actually, I pulled up one of his tweets. Hang on. Can I read you this?
Yeah. Because you were telling me about it, but I don't.
I also looked at his Instagram. I haven't
been on Twitter.
And it's almost worse. I mean, maybe better if it depends on what you like. In a Twitter and Instagram account. So Oladipo tweets like a 16-year-old girl in rural southern Indiana. I'm trying to actually, like, he just reminds me of some people I went to high school with.
I was like, are you telling us something?
You know those? Not me.
Okay, got it.
Like, I'll give you an example. This was on his Instagram. It's like, first of all, it's a quote picture. He's gotten it off the internet. It's from Insta quote. Mm. And all of his quotes are from unknown. They're all cited to unknown. Which means just someone on Tumblr like 14 years ago wrote this, and then to make it get more clout said unknown because they weren't going to put themselves. And you have to make it look like an official quote. Like, there's no way this is unknown. It's not like this is from a philosopher in, like, year 235 and we couldn't find him or her, you know. No, this is the quote. We live in a world of disposable things, but you are not one of them. This makes me feel like a bad person for making fun of it, but I am. You are irreplaceable, one of a kind. There will never be another you. You are not disposable. Do not let anyone tell you differently. Unknown.
He honestly could have just.
Here's another one.
Oh, it's a weird background.
It's
too.
It's the quote backgrounds. Like, he got them off the internet. It's like the motivational quote background where it's like sometimes it's a mountain or a valley and sometimes it just looks like watercolors.
I feel like there's an intern that he hired to just find them and then he can just schedule them out. On, like, Loomly or something.
I think basketball players have less of lives than we think.
Yeah,
I
think that's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
It says the biggest communication problem. They have it's like they don't, but the downtime they have doesn't fit with everybody else's downtime. You know, plus it's
so they search quotes. Yeah, makes sense.
The biggest communication problem is we do not listen to understand. We listen to reply. I'm like, that's a podcast, buddy. But also unknown. And then, hang on, I thought...
Is he okay?
No, listen, now I'm going to go to his Twitter. first tweet, you are not alone. I'm like, are you alone? Like, are you okay? Scroll down.
There's very happy in real life talking to Kyrie and E-Weezy.
6 days ago, tell yourself, ... I love you. Mm. Low-key, September 3rd, 2001. Low-key tired of being single with a period. I'm like, 2001? Dude. Text anybody. Like, I don't know what to tell you. You're like, I think extremely in shape.
It's a part of his image. He's an R&B singer. Like, he has to create some drama. He has to, you know, he's building up to an album, maybe.
I forgot about his R&B stuff.
Yeah, so it's all about the sensitivity and, you know, maybe not certified lover boy, but, like, certified sensitive boy. Like, it's a part of his brand. That's what I'm going for. Show your emotion. Put your heart on your sleeve. I'm going to sing about it later.
Which, honestly, if you have to put yourself through this to come up with material, then that's great.
Yeah.
And to circle back to my point about reminds me of people I went to high school with, he lived in Indiana for quite a long time. So maybe that's actually rubbed off on him.
That checks out. I was going to say the Pacers.
He's just a horse girl at heart.
I can just see him like field reporting, like, oh, so you post quotes and that's it?
That's it's like dope. The quotes with the trees in the background. Yeah. And, you know, you're in the middle of a forest and it's to try to show how deep what the words are saying will be. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway.
Tough luck.
That was all I could think about when I saw Oladipo. But Kyrie looks great. Chris Paul was hanging out with his family.
Yeah, brought his daughter. It seemed like his daughter and her friends all sitting courtside. So fun.
Yeah, that's great. That's an advantage. Having Chris Paul as your dad.
One of the many.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the disadvantages. I don't know.
People at school asking about your Uncle Cliff.
Yeah. They could bring up the commercials. One of his kids is in, like, almost all of them, too.
Yeah. But the pro is they probably never have to pay for car insurance ever in their life.
Yeah, they probably don't drive.
True.
They probably have drivers who take them everywhere.
You know, I was thinking about this exact thing. Like, what are normal people problems that rich people just don't have?
Oh, my God. Health insurance?
Yes. I was just going through it. I was like, dang, I got to get gas. Like, rich people don't have to think about gas money.
Yeah, there's a lot of things.
I know. We don't have to go down it, but I consciously thought of this.
What have you been watching? This is 90% of our conversations because we're like,
yes.
Any basketball news?
Yeah, bear with us. Also, thanks for hanging out with us on the off season. But that goes into how we consume TV because we have the short off season window of all of the TV that we can consume with all this free time that is not NBA games. And I started Manifest on Netflix. It's an ABC show. It always piqued my interest, but it's on Netflix. So I was like, okay, people are talking about it. It's when, you know, these people go on this, they're coming home from Jamaica to New York. They have some turbulence, and then when they land, it's 5 years later. So everyone thought they were dead, the plane was missing, but, like, it was just a normal flight for everybody else.
Have they aged?
No, they have not aged. So, like, for example, only, like, the brother, it was twins, and only the brother went on the flight, and he didn't age, but his sister aged 5 years, so now it's just, like, different in ages, and everybody tried to move on with their life. One girl was engaged and then she never came back, so now her fiance is married to somebody else. Like,
wow.
Life happened. Wow. Because I thought
he gave up on her?
They thought they were dead. For 5 years, they were gone. So anyway, I got super invested into the show. And then I looked at it, and it was 3 seasons. And I was like, okay, NBA season's coming up quick. Do I have time to finish this? It was already starting to get a little weird. I was on episode 5. And so I tweeted it out. I was like, help, should I keep watching Manifest? And my girl, Katie Nolan, was like, all caps, no, get out now. If you can't get out now, you'll be sad that you stayed for as long as you did. So I got out. And the acting was bad. I didn't really care what was going to happen. They started getting superpowers, which was weird.
On the plane?
From the turbulence.
Oh.
So okay. They started, like, seeing visions and, like, hearing stuff. And I was like, oh, I actually didn't want this. I just wanted.
You know what people do say, though, and I think this might be a myth to some degree, is that if you drop a lot of acid, then at any point in your life, if you're flying and you reach a certain altitude, that it could release again. Have you heard this?
No.
Maybe they were all on acid at one point in their life.
No, there's like kids involved. And I mean,
we don't know what people do with their kids, Jordan.
All right.
Wait, so how much? Let's go back to the girl and the guy who are engaged real quick.
Okay. Yep.
Sorry, woman. I'm trying to be less problematic about that. The woman and the man who are engaged. He just like gave up.
Okay, so before she left, it was like a family vacation. Mm-hmm. Before she left, he proposed and she had the ring, but she didn't give it an answer yet. And so when they landed, she was like, gonna say yes. And then turns out he gave up on her, was sad, mourned her death, but then ended up marrying her best friend. Yeah. Tough.
Aries.
Tough.
Aries. Oh my God.
So at some point when I was watching, I was like,
you have to marry the best friend.
I know. It's a little soap opera-y because the acting is terrible. Right. And then it was like, you know, they were both mourning someone that they loved and then they fell in love. But then she was like mad about it because to her it was like 4 days ago. But for them, it was 5 years.
They have no concept that they've been on this flight for 5 years?
No, they have no concept. To them, it was just turbulence. And so, then they landed.
Okay. So yeah, they think like that sci-fi. This is like, it's been 90 minutes. Like, where are they going? Is it a far flight?
It was from Jamaica to New York.
I'm not going to lie. I have no idea. I shouldn't have asked. I set myself up to show how much I don't know about.
Probably
geography.
Like 4 to 5 hours. Like it wasn't going to be long, but when they landed, like the FBI shows up and was like, you've been missing for 5 years.
Well, FBI didn't have to come in so hot. That was probably very traumatic. Yeah, it's 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah.
And
wow,
that's a part
dead
of
on.
It too. Like the FBI is like, feels like something is going on. So they're a character and they're calling in people for questioning and they're like, so I don't know. I think
you
it was
call in
more
the fucking
than
guy
what I signed
left
up
his
for.
Girlfriend for his best friend. He needs to be questioned.
But you can already tell, like 5 episodes in, you could already tell he's already like falling back in love with her because she's like, yo, we were just dating for years, like last week for me.
Is it this
I don't
girl?
Know. Yes.
Dude, great eyebrows.
She does have good eyebrows, but she kind of overdoes it. She's like, it's like, all right, this is dramatic, but you can calm down.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. So bad acting. So you mm-hmm. said, no, I'm not going to get involved.
I'm not going to get involved. I stepped away. And I was trying to figure out, okay, if you step away in a couple days, you're still thinking about what's going to happen, then you can go back and just take your time. But I don't care. I stepped away and I think I got out at a good time.
Yeah.
I feel good about it. But this begs the question, because this whole premise, they don't age 5 years later, The world has continued to move. Is there an NBA player in your mind that would, like, their career would benefit from being on that plane?
Steph Curry. Steph Curry, no doubt in my mind. Steph Curry. Ooh. Go on the plane.
Yeah.
Take a trip around the world like 500 times. And then come back when Golden State is ready with a new team for you and the rest of your career, which is happening faster than any Warriors fan wants to admit. That's some hard truths I've given today.
That's but seriously, good.
No, it's Steph Curry. Although the player it's most likely to happen to, Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
And Klay, he wouldn't even have Jamaica. It. He'd be like, what are you talking about? I was missing.
Klay on vacation comes back and is like, what? But so the other like drama thing is the twin. He had leukemia. And so he only had like 6 months to live. And so he had like 5 years. He was on the plane for 5 years. So he technically lived longer. And then like technology grew in 5 years. And so it's going to end up helping his situation. So there's also things like that where it's like, the game of basketball in 5 years, who might benefit from, like, the future game, if that makes sense.
Oh.
You know?
I mean, injury tech, if we're talking injury technology, I'm like, Zion, go on that plane.
Yeah.
Yes, buy three seats and go on that plane, baby. Because wait until we figure this out with the shoes, you know, with the whatever we need to do. I'm nervous, you know? Although maybe that's also... with AD, it just doesn't matter. There's nothing that restorative that can be done to that body.
Don't even bring it up.
Yeah, to make him not injury prone anymore. That makes me think of Dark. Did you ever watch Dark?
I didn't, but okay. I heard great things.
Dark was really good. It's on Netflix. Watch it in German with the subtitles. But essentially, I mean, I'm going to spoil. It is a fun reveal, like 4 episodes in. So if you want to have that fun reveal, then... feel free to pause this and come back at a later date. But essentially, these people go – they figure out this way to go through time and visit younger and older versions of themselves. But they remain the age they really are as well in their timeline. So the 20-year-old version of them exists alongside the older or the younger, whichever they're visiting. So, for example, speaking of, like, injury technology, today's – 42-year-old Tracy McGrady could go back to his younger self and say, dude, don't sign with Adidas. Wear the Reeboks. Get extra cushion for the knees. Don't tear them up. Or now I'm like, now you've got my mind spinning to all of the people who could benefit
from
this.
I love it.
Sam Mitchell. This is probably the one I would want to give someone as a gift because I don't think anybody – like, that's a hurt man. After 2006. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. The 81-point game. January 21st, 2006, Sam Mitchell. Go to your younger self. Take him on a blind date to the – because how else are you going to drag him there? You can't go and be like, hey, I'm Sam. I'm older, you know? That would be weird.
Mm-hmm.
Set it up as a blind date. It's 2006, so the apps do not exist yet, but I feel like the online services definitely did, right? Go on eHarmony.
Yeah.
Set up an account. So maybe go back to January 20th because this is taking some energy now. Set up an account. You know all your interests. And you know your taste. Catfish him with your taste, your interests. Ask the younger Sam to go on a date to the cheapest seafood buffet in all of Toronto. Go to the very end of the buffet table where it smells good, the stinkiest, nastiest, crustiest salmon dip you can get. Eat it all. Make him eat it. Now we've got a thing where I'm like, do you have someone go in your place? Because now it's alarming. Maybe you can shock him. You know, by it's you being older. I think he's aged quite well, though, so maybe it'll be a pleasant surprise. Make him eat all the salmon dip. get really bad food poisoning, stay home the next day against the Lakers, let Kobe score 81 points while someone else is coaching. Save yourself.
Save yourself.
From the biggest embarrassment of your career. Years later, like it was a 2016 game. I think he was the interim coach with the Wolves at the time. It was something with the Wolves. I remember Kobe had a big game. And he said, they were like, oh, what's your relationship with Kobe? And Sam was like, I hate him.
I love the honesty.
Harry just sent us this message that says, breaking news. Oh, it's Shams. The NBA is discussing having an in-season tournament with future seasons with $1 million per player in prize money. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Here are my immediate thoughts. This is divisive. All the people who are like, stop dividing the country, like replying under politicians' tweets and stuff, this is going to be divisive because some people in the NBA, $1 million would change their life. It would change their entire life. Other people, it is a, not to say money doesn't matter. I'm not like counting anybody's pockets, but like it does not matter as much. So this, yes.
I'm also,
if the team is younger.
Yeah.
Younger teams will probably win this every year because they're going to go the hardest for this. A million's a great number.
Well, my initial thought is that they're stealing this idea from the WNBA, who did this for the first time this year in the Commissioner's Cup. And you know what that prize money was? $500,000 for
like
the winning
bucks.
Team. So they had to split that like 12 ways. And this is going to be $1 million per player. And you're probably going to rip this idea from them directly. How the Commissioner Cup worked was basically you're earning Commissioner Cup points throughout the season. And then the two teams with the highest points played right after the Olympic break. So I wonder how they're going to break it down. But
yeah, it's interesting. I wonder how do you get in and then how long is the actual in-season tournament? Because that affects it as well. I love tournaments. I love any kind of game. Like my friends were just making fun of me because I'm always trying to have a game night. Any kind of competition I like. I think that's why I like soccer so much because they're never just playing in one thing. It's always got stakes in another thing.
Yeah.
Or there's this completely separate tournament, which sort of affects this thing, but not really.
Yeah, that's fair.
They play for different, you know, but that, again, it's just never a one-to-one comparison with soccer because they're involved in multiple leagues. And the NBA is one league with a developmental league that is wholly dependent on it. And that is quite separate. Though some teams do utilize it, it is quite separate. You're never being relegated or promoted from the G League. I wish, but
yeah, you're not. And then the whole thing with the last half of the season not really mattering if you're not, you know, gunning for a playoff spot, like I feel like this is trying to make more games matter.
Of course.
We want to keep the season long, so let's make sure more games matter, put some money on the line, and maybe they'll care. It's like really trying to bring this package together of like, please care about the season players.
Yeah. If you want the games at the end of the season to matter, we already know what the answer is. The play-in tournament has shown that.
Yeah.
Make them matter. You know, don't make the spots so secure.
Exactly.
And yeah, that was like the thing with the W with the game last night when we went. I was like, oh, is this game just not matter for the Storm? And you're like, no, every game matters for everyone.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
This can't be just brought on in addition to a regular season of 82 games.
Right.
82 games is too long. Everyone will say that. I think fans would say that. Players say that. Team employees would definitely say that, not on the record because they want their jobs. Owners are the only ones who are not saying this. Who's going to give up the money?
Yeah.
Nobody.
I think what was what was interesting about the Commissioner's Cup, just to compare the two, was that if the team lost or won, it didn't affect their overall record. So, like, for example, Connecticut is on, like, a 12-game win streak, but they lost the Commissioner's Cup. But it doesn't show up on their record. It doesn't count against them. I guess it's only if you win, you get money. If you lose, it didn't happen. So I think that that was interesting and also maybe a little pointless. Right. Which is if you look at all these comments, everyone's saying, like, we don't need this. This is pointless. This is a waste of time. So it's interesting.
You have to make it. Well, but that's the whole – that's the balance that I think they're going to have a hard time achieving, because American sports seem to have a hard time balancing this. You have to make it seem like more than a gimmick. Mm-hmm. Because that was the frustration this year with the All-Star game.
Yes.
And annually, but especially this last year, because players were like, we're tired. This is so stupid. We don't want to do this. You have to make it seem like more of a gimmick, more than just a gimmick, excuse me. But also, the stakes have to match the importance you're planning on placing on it. Because if you're like, hey, we're introducing this tournament and it's going to be super cool. You guys are going to love it. The players are going to love playing in it. But it doesn't affect the playoffs at all. And you're just going to have to do it in the middle of the season when you're the most tired.
Yeah.
You still got two laps ahead of you in this mile. Have fun. That's a terrible sell to people.
Yeah.
What would be cool, and this is the balance that I don't know off the top of my head, is make it a bit different then. If it's not going to apply, if this doesn't matter at all for the playoffs, which it sounds like from this initial tweet from Shams, it doesn't. Oh, Shams has a new profile pic.
I did notice that.
That's a great suit. If you're going to make it in the middle of the season, it doesn't matter for the postseason. Okay, incorporate something else. Like, is there an international team you can do a collaboration with? Like, I'm just trying to think of anything. Is it in a cool place? Do you get a week break on either side of it?
Yeah.
You know, and maybe four games off?
Because if you're playing a back-to-back and then you're like, oh, we have this friggin' tournament that we have to do, and if you're not in the tournament, are you still playing? Do you have a break? Like, there's so many questions.
It would have to be a break. Because the only leagues that don't have breaks when another thing's going on are women's leagues. But there's too much money at stake here. They're like, no, we're actually going to think about the players. So let's say there's a week break on either end. Because the other thing is, when you're introducing something, it has to go well the first year. Just like the play-in tournament.
Or people are going to get the players to buy in.
Exactly. Like,
if I'm Kawhi, I'm sitting this out. Doesn't matter.
Well, Kawhi doesn't need $1 million.
And he doesn't need it. Knees. He's sitting it out. Like, this is something that the Kings will probably win just to win something. Like, they're all young. They need the money. And I just don't see it being this star-studded fanfare because, like you mentioned off top, the biggest players don't need the $1 million. They would rather take the rest to go to the playoffs because it's about rings. So I wonder what they're trying to achieve with this, because they're not going to get like a Kawhi, LeBron. They're going to try to rest their body.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's just the whole thing, is that you have to equalize the stakes as well. Like, make them match what you're asking for the players overall, but you have to equalize them for all the players. So if that's not a money thing, then it's definitely a this affects the rest of the season, you know, this affects, but that's even hard to say as well. So yeah, I would love for them to pull it off, but not at the cost of playing games in addition to an 82 game schedule, which it sounds like this is going to do, which this also probably does, because there's time on either side that they'll need a break. And like you were saying, I think all play will stop. That's just like if you think about the European leagues, like with soccer, they do take a break. Like, the EPL will just take a break if something else is going on. Hmm. That means that not only is it going to be more games than 82 every season, maybe only for some teams, the ones who get in, but that's going to be more time overall. This is, and I can tell you from covering this for 5 years and being a fan for much longer, the longest fucking season. It's so long.
So long.
There are points in it where I'm just like, I am my couch. My couch is me. You know what I mean? Oh my God, exactly. I'm eating this meal again. You know, I made it on Monday. It's Friday. You know, it's just like you turn into a gross version of yourself watching NBA for this long. It's such a long season. The playoffs are also quite long. So adding a tournament
in. Yeah, with the play-in tournament. The playoffs felt like it was like 3 months long.
You know what this is? Literally, there's a bug on my laptop and Adam Silver's listening in and he's like, fuck, they're talking about Depot's quotes. He's like, I told him those were fucking weird. Now he's like, he texted Chomps. He's like, hey, drop this. So they stopped talking about this. And then in the future, for all Septembers that may come, we won't be talking about this because we'll still be in the playoffs or the draft or whatever because we'll be pushed so long because of this in-season tournament.
Just an infinite season. That's hilarious. Maybe Adam Silver needs to be on the Manifest plane and then he comes off 5 years later and he's able to see, did that tournament work? And then they're like, no, it didn't. We cut it after the first year. You just weren't here.
So maybe like, that's oh my what God, happens. You've full circle. Bald. He's like, I was always bald. Oh my God. Yeah. All right. Well,
yeah.
I think
that's our show.
That's our show. The consensus seems to be with both of us. We'd love to see it, but at what cost?
At what cost?
Yeah.
I would love to see all of the details. And I also encourage you to tell us on our voicemail, like, how do you think this could work? No rhyme or reason. Tell us your strategy if you were in the front office and there's an in-season tournament. Would you copy the WNBA format with Commissioner's Cup? Does it need to be something completely different? Is this replacing something? I guess that's my other question. Like, are we going to X something else out? I don't know. But anyway, leave us a voicemail at 502-874-4453 or send us a long, detailed email. We would love it. At spinsters@bluewirepods.com to be featured on the show.
Spinsters is hosted by me, Haley O'Shaughnessy, and Jordan Liggins. This episode was produced by Jordan, Isabel Jocelyn, Harry Krinsky, and Alex Ward. Our production coordinator is Devin Shepard, and our executive producers are Peter Moses, John Yales, and me.
Hi, this is Keith. I'm calling from San Diego. I would just like the Celtics to suddenly appear at the top of the draft through some magic way, whether it's just like everyone feels like Marcus Smart is worth a top five draft pick or Brad Stevens trades himself, maybe. I feel like 3 years ago that could have worked, but I just wish the Celtics could be a part of this like really nice day. Anyways, love y'all. You guys are doing really great. Adios.